1. Dr. K. Scarpetta moves the tiny glass vial close to candlelight, illuminating a maggot drifting in a poisonous bath of ethanol. At a glance, she knows the exact stage of metamorphosis before the creamy carcass, no larger than a grain of rice, was preserved in a specimen vessel fitted with a black screw cap. Had the larva lived, it would have matured into a blue bottle, Calophora vicina, a blowfly. It might have laid its eggs in a dead human body's mouth or eyes, or in a living person's malodorous wounds. "Thank you very much," Scarpetta says, looking around the table at the 14 cops and crime scene technicians of the National Forensic Academy's class of 2003. Her eyes linger on Nick Robillard's innocent face. "I don't know who collected this from a location best not to contemplate at the dinner table and preserved it with me in mind, but..." Blank looks and shrugs. "I have to say that this is the first time I've been given a maggot as a gift." No one claims responsibility, but if there is a fact Scarpetta has never doubted, it is a cop's ability to bluff and, when necessary, outright lie. Having noticed a tug at the corner of Nick Robillard's mouth before anyone else realized that a maggot had joined them at the dinner table, Scarpetta has a suspect in mind. The light of the flame moves over the vial in Scarpetta's fingertips, her nails neatly filed short and square, her hands steady and elegant, but strong from years of manipulating the unwilling dead and cutting through their stubborn tissue and bone. Unfortunately for Nick, her classmates aren't laughing, and humiliation finds her like a frigid draft. After 10 weeks with cops she should now count as comrades and friends, she is still Nick the Hick from Zachary, Louisiana, a town of 12,000, where until recently murder was an almost unheard-of atrocity. It was not unusual for Zachary to go for years without one. Most of Nick's classmates are so jaded by working homicides that they have come up with their own categories for them. Real murders, misdemeanor murders, even urban renewal. Nick doesn't have her own pet categories. Murder is murder. So far in her 8-year career, she has worked only 2, both of them domestic shootings. It was awful the first day of class when an instructor went from one cop to another, asking how many homicides each of their departments averaged a year. "None," Nick said. Then he asked the size of each cop's department. 35, Nick said. Or, "smaller than my 8th grade class," as one of her new classmates put it. From the beginning of what was supposed to be the greatest opportunity of her life, Nick quit trying to fit in, accepting that in the police way of defining the universe she was a them, not an us. Her rather whimsical maggot mischief, she realizes with regret, was a breach of something, she's not sure what. But without a doubt she should never have decided to give a gift, serious or otherwise, to the legendary forensic pathologist, Dr. K. Scarpetta. Nick's face heats up, and a cold sweat dampens her armpits as she watches for her hero's reaction, unable to read it, probably because Nick is stunned stupid by insecurity and embarrassment. "So I'll call her Maggie, although we really can't determine gender yet," Scarpetta decides, her wire-rimmed glasses reflecting shifting candlelight. "But a good enough name for a maggot, I think." A ceiling fan snaps and whips the candle flame inside its glass globe as she holds up the vial. "Who's going to tell me which instar Maggie is? What life stage was she in before someone," she scans the faces at the table, pausing on Nick's again, "dropped her in this little bottle of ethanol? And, by the way, I suspect Maggie aspirated and drowned. Maggots need air the same way we do."
"What asshole drowned a maggot?" one of the cops snipes.
"Yeah, imagine inhaling alcohol."
"What you talking about, Joey? You've been inhaling it all night."
A dark, ominous humor begins to rumble like a distant storm, and Nick doesn't know how to duck out of it. She leans back in her chair, crossing her arms at her chest, doing her best to look indifferently as her mind unexpectedly plays one of her father's worn-out storm warnings.
"Now, Nick, honey, when there's lightning, don't stand alone or think you'll be protected by hiding in the trees. Find the nearest ditch and lie as low in it as you can."
At the moment, she has no place to hide but in her own silence.